So I think that it's interesting to me, and I throw it out to you guys. What to me, what find it's fascinating. So the game is the game arena.
Your fucking dog's killing me.
Oh God, I love it. Keep going.
The I totally lost my train of thought.
Engage. The Rancor's Brothel.
Hello and welcome to the Rancor's Brothel, issue number 62. I'm your co-host Matt.
And I'm your co-host Cody.
Cody, who the fuck are these gentlemen?
That's right. You will notice that the audio quality is a bit different because we're sitting in my dining room. And with me, I have my brother-in-law Daniel, who you may remember from the South Park episode. That's the only time you've been on, right?
Yes, that's the only time I've been on is with the South Park episode.
And, which is awesome. You guys should all go back and listen to it. And we have newcomer Austin.
Howdy, howdy. Fresh meat.
Yup, that is correct.
Oh, beautiful. Cody, I want to give you a compliment. I have had two separate people come up to me this week and say how much they are enjoying the show now.
Really?
With your input. And it's like, because, I mean, the show before Cody, the Lamb Before Time, it was more dick and fart jokes. Yeah, it was funny.
The good old days.
Yeah. It was more geared towards humor than actual information. And so now having your font of comics knowledge and really just nerd culture in general spewing forth weekly has really upped the quality of the show. So thank you, Coach.
Well, I thank you. I'm glad to know that, you know, those thousands and thousands of dollars I've spent and wasted time while not doing anything productive are entertaining people.
Yes,
I appreciate that.
The way to do it. real quick, a little piece of information. I don't have the pertinent details yet, so you're going to have to look on the Facebook page for the Rancor's Brothel. But Follow Networks is a comic book releasing this week. We are a Follow Networks podcast, and if you will recall, Follow Networks did a panel at Indie PopCon this year, and we wrote a comic on stage using ideas from the audience. And part one of that comic will be coming out this week, and that's Joan of Orca, part one. And again, like, we just walked in with a title idea and then let the audience ride with it. So if you don't like it, it's totally not our fault. It was the people in the front row.
Which was a 7-year-old girl.
Yeah, she rocked it. That kid, man, I don't know, she was gifted. So, we're probably going to do this again at other cons. We might do a bit of traveling this year now, because the idea worked so well, so we're going to let it ride. Keep it going. So yes, you can find it'll be available for download this week. It will go to print eventually, but not right now. Probably wait until part two is out and combine them. Although Chad wants to be a dick and still sell them as two separate issues, so I thought that was kind of funny. But I don't know. It'll be out soon. How's that?
That's a thing. That's good. That's good news. Yeah. And if you follow Networks on Facebook, I don't know the details, but he's already asking for story seeds for, it sounds like, another project. Mm-hmm. So just keep throwing things out there.
Yeah, it's really fun to see your ideas in print. So, which you can find Bovine at the Android's Dungeon in Avon, Indiana. Pick up our last comic book. Anywho.
Yes.
What have you been reading, gentlemen?
Well, I think we'll start with Austin, because Austin has brought material for the class to
look
at.
I have. I brought Black Mirror.
Did you bring it up for everybody?
It's a big book.
Oh,
we can tear it.
Tear it apart. Everybody read it.
No!
Distribute it. Cody told me I should check this out because I'm really into Scott Snyder's Batman stuff. Then I read this and I'm on to American Vampire now, which I am devouring. I really like Black Mirror. I was really invested at first in the whole, you know, underground swapsy trading of the villain implements, but then you get, you know, the side story, I guess, which for me was more interesting. I was more invested by the end in the James Jr. story, because that was, I mean, it was just incredible and haunting and terrifying. But
Yeah. For those of you who don't know Black Mirror, it's Scott Snyder switched over to Detective Comics about 12 issues before the New 52 ended. And it's his run of, I think it's 871 to 881. So it's basically the end of Detective Comics before the New 52. And at this point, I believe Dick is still Batman. And he's got, oh God, there are too many Robins. He's got a Robin running around with him. Nobody cares because nobody likes Robin. But it deals with, as Austin alluded to, a sort of a guy who's going around, I guess, sort of like a having an auction house of, like, the leftover implements of battles from supervillains and whatnot.
You buy your very own Mr. Freeze Ray.
Exactly. And it's really cool, really creepy. If you really like Court of Owls, which is what he did once he switched over to Batman. I don't know. Did you guys feel like the court and the cult that he's
absolutely.
Got here?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, down to the masks that they use. Like, it's very reminiscent of that.
It's interesting to see him play with it. You know what I mean? And it's really good.
Variations on a theme, if you will.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's got, I think Francavella, is Francavella yeah. does the main.
No, Jock, I think, does the main. I think Francavella does the James Jr. stuff.
Mm. Anyway, the back matter that you typically see in a Batman comic, it actually is incredibly relevant to the story and starts tying in. And I really love the last few issues where they utilize both artists. So you kind of get James Jr., of course, is the son of James Gordon, who's slightly homicidal, more than slightly. And he's going through this whole montage of bringing him into the main story, you get the switch between arts, which I thought was a really cool thing to do.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I never thought of it that way, but that's
good. It's neat because it's almost like you're...
It's a thematic change.
Yeah, you're like seeing through the eyes of James Jr. versus seeing through the eyes of normal, or seeing through Batman's vision, however you want to look at it.
But. It's a lot more colorful in the James Jr., which is very interesting because we're dealing with, you know, this psychopath, this very dark person, but it's also, I mean... You look like a lot of purples and oranges, and
that's just his style.
Yeah,
I mean, I love both those artists, and they're fantastic. And it's like you said, it's purples, it's bright, it's really bright considering that you're dealing with a homicidal maniac. But it's very cool.
Very neat, very neat. Any reading anything else?
Except American Vampire, but just
I've
that.
Never gotten into that. What is it's, this? There's always like a big stack of it at the library.
Yeah, it's really good. It's it starts with this.
It's about werewolves.
It's not. It's really like this mythology of these like European vampires, like these, you know, gentrified folk, and then how that kind of transfers to America, and then you get this kind of new breed of vampire, which is just because it's America, it's more badass, of course. and then you get tension there, and it's just like the story of this one woman who gets infected, and then this guy, Skinner Sweet, who Stephen King writes the backstory for, and it's phenomenal in, I think, the first 7 issues. But Skinner Sweet's just kind of like doing his thing. He's this really nasty dude, and then you see Pearl Jones is actually like married to a human, and he knows, and so there's that whole tension there. But it's really good. It's bloody, it's fun, but like I said, you get this whole kind of history with the European vampires, the American vampires. There's a lot going on.
It's interesting that you use the word gentrified, because there's this huge clash of cultures between.
First of all, it's just interesting that anybody used the word gentrified. I don't think I've ever heard it in a sentence.
Well, I'm gentrified, so I can use that word.
I don't know what it means.
It's not offensive. It's not offensive if he uses it. It's his culture.
Oh, okay.
No, it's interesting because you do have this huge clash of cultures between sort of these European Bram Stoker's Dracula type vampires. And then you've got, like he said, sort of this Americana vampire, this vampire of the Old West who's like,
that's so cool.
You know, fuck the establishment. You know, okay, they like to, you know, do it this way and they do this. And he's just like Dirty Harry kicking down doors and doing whatever the hell he pleases. And it's interesting to kind of put the traditional vampire story in that element. It's kind of neat.
Because the European vampires are very much the old style, like, can't go out in the sun, and the American vampire's just like, fuck all that. We're here, we're in the sun.
He's like, screw your rules. Yeah. You know? Freedom. Eagles.
Yeah, exactly.
Six shooters. It's a neat little story. It's surprising how good it is, actually.
Oh, yeah, I'll put that on the reading list. That sounds all right. Thanks for the description, Austin. You guys, I'm not ready. I've reading Game of Thrones at like a snail's pace because I keep playing Angry Birds Epic.
It's like you go to the bathroom and you see Game of Thrones, but you pick up the smartphone instead.
I know, right? Like, the goal is to play my smartphone games, whatever Clash of Clans, join the Latent Invaders clan. I play it until the battery dies, and then it's time to read when my phone's charging. So, yeah.
This is why you don't sleep, I think.
I sleep all the time. I didn't sleep last night because I'm a drunk moron who just got really ramped up watching awesome Netflix stuff. So
that's fair.
What are you going to do? Now that I'm finishing my second Mountain Dew since we sat down at the table 10 minutes ago.
That's true. That's actually pretty accurate given the recording time. I'm talking about this, Lucas. This is for you, Lucas, because the only one that I've read, Lucas posted on my Facebook wall asking me to review certain comics, and I've only read one of them. So I'm going to review this just for Lucas.
Oh, cool.
The Wicked and the Divine. I don't know if you remember us talking about this.
You talked about it at the dungeon, didn't you?
Yeah,
ad nauseum.
It's, okay, Kieran Gillen is awesome for, like, how do I put it? He's British, and he brings that sort of British artistic mentality to things where it's bizarre, and it's from a strange angle, and it's not quite right, and just that, you know, 6 degrees off center makes it some really interesting story. But, so The Wicked and the Divine, every 100 years we have gods returning to Earth, and they're reincarnated in these young people, and they live for 2 years, have all kinds of awesome powers, then apparently die horrendously. And it's interesting because there's this whole connection with sort of pop culture, because all of them turn out to be like dirty popular comedians or pop stars or rock stars or whatever.
Well, yeah, go big or go home, right?
Exactly. It's kind of that whole mentality. And it's an interesting story on art. What we saw at the end of issue one, I'll just toss that out there if you guys want to take a look at it. The art is pretty good, actually.
It's very pretty.
It's very
I like pretty. That girl's hair.
But, in issue one, we actually ended on a bang because they put Lucifer on trial. Lucifer's this blonde... Oops, text message. Lucifer's this blonde sort of butch woman who is apparently very into sex with all types and manners of people she's alluded to in the story thus far.
So this is like the traditional Lucifer, like devil Lucifer?
Yeah. I mean, they call her Lucy, but it's not just like sort of Christian, or, you know, sort of Christian, what do I want to say here? Hierarchy. I mean, you've got Amaterasu, you've got the Morrigan from Irish culture, you've got Baal from, all I know is from Baldur's Gate, but you've got a lot of different gods in it. But she, apparently when she snaps is when she uses her powers, and they're putting her on trial because some assassins tried to kill a whole bunch of gods who were meeting at one place, and she snapped her fingers, and all of the assassins' heads exploded. And she's sitting there on the stand, and the judge is like, oh, well, blah, 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 and because everyone thinks that they're fake, that they can't do anything. Well, at the end of the first issue, she's like, just because every time I snap my fingers something happens doesn't mean it always does. And she snaps her fingers, and the judge's head explodes. And she starts screaming, oh, my God, I didn't do that, I didn't do that. So now we're following, there's a young woman here, I can't remember her name, Laura. And she's kind of fallen in love with these gods, and she's getting involved in this sort of dark, creepy mythological world, and it's really interesting. It's dark, it's creepy, it's like you said, some pop culture references in it. It deals with mythology and old gods, which I always think is really interesting, and it's worth a try. It's only 2 issues in. I think the 3rd issue comes out next week or the week after. So
I love that Lucy looks like Zool.
Yeah,
did you notice that?
A little bit, yeah.
No, I understand that, yes, this is an oral medium, but we're looking at the comic book here, so just Google it. She looks like Zool.
I thought this 2-page spread, actually, where she's kind of falling into the descent. So this is the young girl, and it's a 2-page spread. She's sort of falling down on one side and catching fire, and then you see her on the other side come out as Lucifer.
It's Jennifer Lawrence. She's catching fire, but punching anybody? You guys are dicks.
So yeah, there you go, Lucas. Wicked and the Divine, I highly recommend it. I love Kieran Gillen. I also really like his Uber, which I talked about every once in a while. So there's that.
That's an Image book, right?
Yes. Cool. That is an Image title. So it's got all the... What is that phrase that she said? Where is it? She's talking to Laura, and she says something. I was like, I have to mention this on the podcast, because it'll crack Matt's shit up. She said...
Get your pinky out of my butthole.
Actually, pretty close.
Shit.
She said... Because she's always... Like I said, she's very sexually motivated. What'd she say? The screen, they're behind glass, obviously, and she says the screen makes it somewhat tricky. Intangible cunnilingus is beyond even my abilities. That said, I've never tried. They do say I have a wicked tongue.
That's cute.
It's clever.
I like
it's a clever book. So, and I also want to ask you guys just for sort of quickly here, what do you guys think about the new Thor being a lady? Have you guys seen this?
Yes, that makes her a Disney princess now.
Oh, man. Don't say it like that.
Take that, world.
I wanted to fuck Thor when it was Hemsworth, so... I mean, this is a win-win
for me. Very little has changed.
Yeah.
They've said it's going to be Beta Ray Bill-esque, where Thor apparently is going to do something that is awful, and he no longer... what is it? He's whosoever has the, you know... Forget what the key word is here.
Fuck. Whosoever has the...
If he be worthy or whatever it is.
It's kind of like the first movie, isn't it? Doesn't he lose his...
Yeah. When he gets cast down to New Mexico or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So essentially that's going to happen, and we're going to see a new hero arise and pick up Mjolnir.
So like Valkyrie or something? Like...
Nobody knows.
Is there just going to be some broad walking down the street and like, hey, a hammer. I like nails.
Yeah, fair enough. Maybe she's a lady carpenter. She just picks it up.
No, they don't.
I picture it being that, what's the woman's name from Game of Thrones? She's the one who...
Brienne?
That's what I picture.
Like a giant fucking Viking woman.
Yep, that's what I picture.
Very good. You guys watch the show Vikings on History Channel?
No.
You should check that shit out, man. It's so good. It is so fucking good.
I watched the first, I think, 2 episodes, and they were solid. They were really good. I just haven't gone back to watch the rest of it.
2 seasons are out now.
I know. We talked about this last week with Hemlock Grove.
I know, right? You just sample television. You don't fall in love with television, do you?
It can't capture you in 1 to 2 episodes, though. It's
to be fair, I watched it the second week that the first season had come out. So I watched the first episode that had been out the week before, and the second episode, I'm like, I'm going to start watching this! And then I just didn't.
What show was that?
Vikings.
I haven't seen it.
It's pretty badass. Okay, so that's what we're reading. I believe there's a film we wanted to discuss today that we all enjoyed.
There is. Yes. Geek Movie of the Week. This is, I would like everyone to know, because I never get to pick the movie. I picked the movie. I texted everyone. I was like, oh man, you should watch this movie because it's going to be awesome.
Now, the Geek Movie of the Week last week was Amazing Spider-Man 2 because we did Brothel Night out of the movies. And it sucked. I mean, it didn't suck, but it was...
You didn't like it?
I didn't love it the way I loved The Amazing Spider-Man. How's that?
That's fair.
So... Just thanks to everybody that came out for that. That was fun. We'll probably be doing that again here soon because, again, the Cheap Theater is currently running Godzilla, Amazing Spider-Man 2, Cap 2, and X-Men Days of Future Past for $250.
Oh, my God.
So if you want to get those, get the experience of seeing them in a theater before they hit the DVD or the Blu-ray,
I would be down with Godzilla. If we can do a thing, I would love to see that.
Because I've seen the other two. I hadn't seen Spider-Man yet. And so now that Godzilla's there, I'm like, fuck yeah. So, and then they had a trailer at the beginning of Spider-Man for Heaven is Real, one about the little kid that dies and gets resuscitated and, like, comes back with all his knowledge of, like, relatives that died generations before him, you know? He's like a 5-year-old kid. I fucking cried. I sat there.
The trailer?
I fucking cried at a trailer. So that was depressing. So.
That happens.
Yeah. I think it's because I'm dead. I think it just made me, like, weak.
That's fair. That's understandable.
So, let's talk about the movie of the week.
All right. So, the movie of the week is called Devil's Pass. It's on Netflix. And I just kind of want to kick it off, and since everybody's watched it, I kind of want to hear everyone's interpretations. But the reason why this came up, I was listening to Blurry Photos, which is a podcast they keep telling you to listen to, about they do all kinds of weird supernatural stuff. Anyway, they talked about...
I'm going to fucking look it up right now.
All right.
To download that shit.
All right.
So go ahead.
Because Flynn, I encouraged him to listen to it to see if he thought it would be cool since we were having him on today, and then texted Daniel to have him watch the movie. But episode 39 that they have is called The Dyatlov Pass Incident, which is this crazy thing that happened in Russia in 1959. So, since you guys, I don't know if you guys Wikipedia'd it or whatever, but everything you saw in the backstory is totally true. This all actually happened. This group of hikers goes up into...
Nice! Oh, wow. That's episode number 39, the Dyatlov Pass. Because it's one of their highest downloads. So, cool.
They, these hikers all go up into the mountains, and they're supposed to be gone for, like, 10 days. And after about...
Black-eyed kids!
They do all
those
kinds.
Are creepy.
I'm telling you, man.
Fucking
this podcast
downloading right now.
Okay, everyone who's listening right now, pause and go subscribe to Blurry Photos. It will make your life enriched.
We did an episode on GMOs.
They do episodes on anything that could possibly. Their reptilians episode right before that episode is awesome.
But they did one on growth modification, like the.
Yeah, they were just like. What they do is they sort of take. They sort of go, okay, here's what we know on any given subject. Here's what we know. Here's what some people say may or may not be true, and there's, you know, possibly substantial evidence for that. And then they put on the tinfoil hats and just go all crazy on it. So.
Oh, I'm so excited for this. Like, I live in a world where everything that I hear is true. Like, I believe in everything, you know? Like, there's, I don't know, the things go bump in the night for me.
Nice.
So, this will be fun to talk about.
So, all these hikers go up and they're lost for, you know, they're gone for 14 days. They're gone for 21 days. Finally, people are like, where are they? And so they start looking for them. And they find this camp. And these were all experienced hikers. They were hiking in January in these mountains in Russia in a very difficult hike. But apparently they find the camp. And what they find out is that the tent is kind of half covered over with snow. And it had been cut open from the inside. And on the night that they died, because they know from journal entries, they ran out in what was like negative 20 degree weather or something, blowing snow, storm. They all ran out basically in their underwear. And they run like several hundred meters down slope, so downhill. And they all more or less freeze to death somewhere between the safety of their tents and their thermal gear and somewhere in these woods. Some of them fall into a ravine and suffer injuries that people say they couldn't possibly have suffered falling in the ravine. A couple of guys literally freeze to death in their underwear, huddled around a fire. They found fragments of skin and stuff in the trees, like they might have tried to climb the trees, but none of them actually died of anything, with the exception of one or two of injuries that they were like, oh yeah, this is, you know, it was all like
explainable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just like, okay, so one woman or man was injured on the back of the head, and it was like, okay, that would have caused a concussion, but they wouldn't have died from it. But that person was like found face down in the snow, like surrounded in a puddle of blood around their head. They're like, but they didn't die from bleeding. So I think it went on the record as like an unnatural,
compelling
sort of
force.
Yes, an unnatural compelling force killed these nine people.
I think one of them had like a tongue removed.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. So they don't find four of the bodies for like 3 months. And then when they thaw, we debated over this about the film because we don't know if this agrees with it or not, but they open up this ravine and there's where the other four bodies were, and they have eyes plucked out. They have a tongue that's been like cut out, maybe. They're not really sure that it was. And they're like, well, it's weird because they were under like 15 feet of snow because that's why they couldn't find him. So it's like, what sort of predator would dig down through 15 feet of snow to get a tongue? You know what I mean?
And then leave the rest.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird. But anyway, it really happened. It's crazy. And this movie, Devil's Pass, is about some college-age students who film a documentary trying to find out what happened to them. Like
trying
in 2014.
To recreate the hike up there.
Mm-hmm. So I'll throw it to you guys. What do you think? What do you think of the movie?
Like, okay, so when I watched it, it was not through the prism of that I knew the stuff was real.
Right, yeah.
You know, I watched it, I was like, oh, this is, I said it was the movie that that Chernobyl Diaries should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember that,
yeah.
Fucked up movie. It was, like, marketed real heavy, and found footage, just like this, of going into Chernobyl and finding, like, nuclear zombies or whatever. But it just turned out that it was ridiculous and stupid. And I wanted my money back from Redbox. But... this movie, like, I mean, it's an IFC film product, which is always great. Sleepwalk With Me is a good one. I've never seen an IFC film that I didn't love. So, like, as soon as I turn it on and that pops up, I'm like, snap, all right, cool. I can live with this. But it was just an intensely interesting story. And, like, you know, the last 5 minutes have been fucking crazy.
Yeah, it seemed like one of those movies that you could watch, like, the last 25 minutes, and that's basically the whole story.
Yeah, I mean, it's like... You know, it starts out nice and flowery and fun. We're going on a trip to Russia. And then it starts getting increasingly more oppressive and suspenseful. And then, like, just at, like, the climax is so fast and so furious.
Yeah.
Fucking Vin Diesel should have been
in. I think the only key parts that you really miss in the first hour is probably the tattoo in the back of the ear and the tongue they find.
Yeah.
And that was probably the big two. Other than the story itself, Well, they also go to that bar and get
the bar was actually kind of creepy for me. Yeah. Because, you know, they're having the shot, they're all excited, and then they realize this is the shot that they took.
Well, see, they take the shot first.
Yeah.
And then the bartender lets them know that the people who went before them
all stood around and had those shots.
Back in 59 had the same drink.
Yeah.
Now, have you guys ever done a flaming shot like that?
No.
You can't. He yes. let them burn for like 45 seconds. I did that once at a flaming Dr. Pepper. Have you ever heard of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I actually have.
Wonderful beverage. But, like, so I blew it out and then took the shot and I fucking burned my lips. So there's no way that, you know, that was legitimate. So my little problem with the film.
The movie had some factual inaccuracies
with things that I know.
My only other factual inaccuracy is that how did that camera battery last for, what would that be, 52
yeah.
years?
It went through the Rosenberg Bridge,
man. It's like a second.
Well, no, but when they find it in 2014 and they replay the footage, that camera's theoretically been sitting there for 52 years.
Camera teleported to the future.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just in case anyone's not following, there's flaming booze, there's time travel, all kinds of crazy shit going on.
It seems that the things... Okay, so we might spoil a little bit here, but it seems that whatever passes through the portal... and then gets in their powers. Instead of it being teleportational, I think it's pan-dimensional.
Mm.
Because how else would they have survived without eating for 50 years? You know,
yeah.
They were in there the entire time, living in the same second for the past 50 years.
What I was wondering is, because they were talking about it there at the end, if it was a fixed point or not,
mm-hmm.
if they go, would they go out on the other side?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was wondering is, would they go there every time you go through that portal, or is it just a random spot?
And do you always end up with fucking crazy hands and feet?
Exactly.
Become a weird vampire thing?
It's always interesting, because the whole Philadelphia experiment that they mention has always been a really sort of creepy occult thing that people focus on, you know, time travel in the 1940s, World War II, and it sort of takes that same sort of theme and makes it very creepy and Cold War-esque. And what's great is if you listen to the Dyatlov Pass incident or you look it up, a lot of the things that they talk about, like the tongue, like the orange lights in the sky, like the radioactivity, these were all things that happened. One of the hikers closed in 59, the actual hiker, had high levels of radiation, like hundreds of times what it would be, not fatal or anything, but way more than you would have as an average person's clothes just laying out there.
Mm-hmm.
There were talks of orange lights in the sky. There were talks of alien abductions, of Bigfoot, of time travel. All this stuff is talked about in the Dyatlov Pass incident in real life, and then they incorporate all those concepts in the movie, and it's absolutely brilliant.
Very cool. Yeah, intensely interesting. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
It was a good movie. I liked it.
I will say one thing, and this is not against the movie, but Netflix. You and I talked about this.
Yeah.
When you kind of mouse over in Netflix, it shows kind of a big splash of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The one for Devil's Pass reveals a lot about the movie.
I don't know if I really looked at it.
Good. I missed it, but at the end of the movie, when it came up after, it was just right there.
Mm. Yeah. One of the biggest reveals of the movie is that it's...
Spoiler!
It definitely shows... Well, you know what happens after... you know what they find inside the cave, basically. Mm-hmm. It shows a picture of that.
Yeah, it does.
The two of them.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So like, before you even go into the movie, there it is. Like,
so you're looking for that the whole time.
Yeah.
I think that helped me when I realized I went through the portal, and I realized what time frame they were in, and I see them dragging. Right then, I just put two and two together.
Yeah.
I think that picture was a lot of the reason why I... Put it together so easily.
I don't know. It's like, of all the pictures you could use, a snowy mountaintop, kids doing the shot and burning their mouths. Like, really?
The kids dying in an avalanche. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you could have used.
Man, that was
Bone-in.
The bone-in.
Yep. That's it.
That just kind of...
It's only partial nudity. It's not full nudity.
Dude, old boy. Elizabeth Olsen. Sorry. I watched it last night. It was good. And she's nude.
Uh-oh.
So I saw the Scarlet Witch's boobs.
Mm. Well, there you go. Congrats.
Thanks. does that conclude the Devil's Pass talk? Anything else to say about it?
I think it gets a brothel thumbs up from everybody here.
Yeah, absolutely. I found footage is being overdone, but this was a really good one.
Yeah.
This was. So
I expected it to be so cheesy going in and watching it, and it was much, much better than I ever expected.
Mm-hmm. I completely expected government stuff. I didn't expect the elements that happened in the end. You know, like there's movies like that, like From Dusk Till Dawn. Like, if you don't know that it's a movie about vampires, like, you're watching, like, the first 45 minutes. It's like a crime drama.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, what's going on here? This is kind of cool. And then fucking, what's-her-face, Salma Hayek turns into a vampire. You're like, what the fuck is that? You know, like, The Descent. You know, people are, oh, hey, they're spelunking. Oh, no, I hope they get rescued. What the fuck was that thing? Yeah. It ain't her face!
Yeah.
So it was kind of one of those moments for me with this film. So that was really fun.
It was good.
Okay, gentlemen, you're here to talk about something that I have no idea about.
That's okay.
So I'm just going to go have a cigarette. You guys talk.
All right.
All right. Cody, say it again.
Esports.
Esports. And you said Dido?
Dota 2.
Okay.
And we're going to probably talk some League of Legends, and we may even talk some Smite or Dawnguard.
Dawngate. I called it Dawnguard. Padre yelled at me.
Fair enough. Shout out to Fudge. Sort of to introduce you to this world, because Matt, if you're new to this, internet gaming, games on the internet, games specifically that are free to play that are sort of real time strategy based. If you've ever played Age of Mythology or anything like that on computer, where it's a lot of quick twitch movements. It's knowing what buttons to hit at the right time. Have you ever seen StarCraft? I guess StarCraft would be a good one to go for.
Age of Empires is probably a popular one.
Age of Empires?
Yeah.
I played that, like, in 1997.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are still people out there. I mean, StarCraft 2 came out, what, 98, 99?
StarCraft 2? No, that was, like, late 2000s.
Well, okay, the original StarCraft was probably that time. But in Korea and a lot of places, these people are playing them competitively in front of crowds. So you get, you know, you pack 10,000 people into some sort of stadium. You throw up the screen up behind them, and you have a couple of nerds sitting there, you know, playing these games, you know, and everyone watching them. That's sort of evolved into a much bigger thing now. You get 5-on-5 man teams in a type of game called MOBA, where you're trying to attack each other's goals. It's described often as soccer meets chess, but at a fast pace. And there are people out there playing in tournaments where, you know, 16, 18, 20-year-old people who have played this free-to-play game are winning $5.6 million in tournaments. The Dota 2, it's the big tournament's called the International, and top prize was $5.6 million for the first place?
Yeah, $10 million total for top three.
For the top three teams in the world. So you're talking about big banking money on these games. And so I just brought in Daniel, who my brother-in-law is a huge League fan, and Austin, who's played quite a few games as well, just sort of talk to us about esports.
Cool. I really have no idea what to ask them, so if you would like to continue to lead the show, that would be great. I'm just going to sit here and learn.
All right. Well, I suppose we'll start. Describe what esports, Flynn. What have I missed encompassing it to tell people who
is
know?
Is it like fantasy football? Is that an esport?
There is fantasy for esports.
Oh.
So you can pick a player on one
you
of these
can
teams.
Pick, you're like, oh,
and
man,
build a roster.
This is my dream nerd.
There you go.
Awesome.
There you go.
Just like, oh, this you got a finger cramp. There goes my roster. Injury.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of, you know, hit it just right. Esports. It's a thing.
Esports, man. Esports.
Show over. No, it's, I mean, we're talking about, so Dota 2 is, I mean, it's cast on ESPN. Like, it's such a big deal that people are now recognizing it in the general sports world. Yeah. Like, people are putting bets on these things. People are having fantasy tournaments with these things. So I guess how would you best describe, I guess, a MOBA-based game? Because they're all MOBA games, right? So
yeah.
MOBA, what does it stand for? What type of game?
Multiplayer online battle arena. It started with Dota, which was a mod for Warcraft 3. Just people built this map, put towers along these three lanes, and then had minions come up, and they would come together in the middle of these lanes, fight each other, and die. And then if they got close to the tower, the tower would attack, and they would die. But then you have teams of five on each side that kind of push back and forth these minion waves by attacking them, attacking other players, and the goal is to pretty simply just take down each tower in each of these three lanes, and then eventually you get to, let's call it an inhibitor. It's called something else in Dota League. It's an inhibitor. And then that gives you stronger minions, and then ultimately the goal is to destroy their base.
This sounds like my Clash of Clans that I love so much.
Could be. Is you could already be playing esports. Wow. You could be the next big thing.
Wow, I'm already pretty big.
But yeah, I mean, it's a simple idea, but it's like, who goes where, who fills what position, what champions, because Dota League, they have champion rosters of, you know, over 100 different characters that each have different abilities, and so it's, you know, kind of up to the players to figure out who's going to go where, who's going to fill this position well, how do we counter pick against what the other team is doing.
Yeah, I mean, as the years went by, it's definitely gotten more advanced. I don't know what it was like probably, you know, 3 years ago, because I just started playing League of Legends probably about 2 years ago. But I do know
Samson apparently that doesn't like esports.
Samson's a dick.
Nowadays, it's almost to the point where a lot of the strategy is math-based. There are people out there who calculate the damage with this item against this champ that's got this item built. It goes down to things such as CS, which is your creep score, because killing the minions give you gold. Okay. Which give you a big advantage. If you kill more minions than the other person in your lane, you're getting more gold than they are.
Yeah.
You're calculating, like you said, a lot of math all at the same time. You're making picks and choices of different players, and it's all happening in real time. So the math, and, you know, feel free to input here if I'm doing wrong, but the math is relatively even. So the creep waves, the towers, without the players, nothing would happen. It's a static environment.
They come to the middle and die.
So you have these varying choices, and obviously just like anything in any video game ever, you have these different choices with different characters that do different things. But what's fascinating is the difference is that there are only, what, minute differences between the characters? I mean, they all do different things, but it's basically the same types of things.
Well,
try to keep it even.
You also get to the point of characters having different builds. You also, once you get to level 30 in-game, you should build things such as runes and masteries that give you just a little bit of something that you want. I mean, you basically build them how you want.
Right, but what I'm saying here is that we're talking about what, mathematically speaking, like 10 points here or there, 20 points here or there. Like, it's such a minute difference that what makes it exciting as a live event, as esports in and of itself, is that it's that sort of 10% difference that is accessible to both sides. So it's really skill in coming down to play it and how to execute it that makes it interesting.
Yeah. There's really no one champion. I mean, people say that a certain champion might be overpowered, but it's really not to the point that they're going to win every game. It really does come down to the player, and it comes down to teamwork more than anything, because it is five people.
It's a big teamwork game. It gets pretty hectic sometimes.
People are bastards.
You get trollers. You get people saying, you know, I'm going to start feeding, and they just start walking into the turret.
You've already been feeding.
And taking turret damage, and they just give the other people kills, and when you get kills, you get more gold, so.
So it's the type of game where, like I said, you're on a razor-thin edge of mathematical advantage one side or the other. So it really comes down to how fast can you click that button, how well can you bait that person into coming within range, and then since it's a team, you know, a team exercise, can you come around the corner in such a way that when I push this three-button combo and you utilize this item that you've just bought, it can, you know, give us that extra 5% damage that we need to kill somebody and swing the tide in our favor. It's really it's really interesting. So what do you guys think about how is Twitch, which you have to explain Twitch probably to people, how has Twitch changed the sport?
Twitch is huge. I mean, Twitch, it's... Dan, you actually stream.
Yeah, well, I don't really stream anything big, because...
I watch you. I followed you. You have one follower.
I got two followers.
I
got two followers. But Twitch is basically a lot of non-professional players, I would say, go on Twitch to stream.
What is Twitch? Let's start.
Twitch is basically online gaming TV.
Okay.
So you can, I think you download a program, right?
Yeah.
And it basically streams you down in the corner, just kind of sitting in your chair.
If you have a webcam, I mean,
if you have a webcam,
some people don't.
And then your screen as you play. So you get on here, onto this website, you watch people, you know, sometimes if they have a webcam, then just sitting there playing a game and cussing at people, but you're also watching their screen. And pro players use this a lot just to kind of interact with their fans, and, you know, sometimes teach.
The fact that they have fucking fans.
Oh, it's huge.
It is.
This is blowing my mind.
So let's to put this in perspective, so right now, we're all in this group, we're all pretty heavy League of Legends fans, and right now, it's coming up to the end of their season. And because it's the end of their season, obviously the games, what teams are ranking and who's going to be able to go into the final playoffs is all being decided right now. When we logged on to, this was on a Friday at 3 o'clock because I had gotten off early. Flynn wasn't out of work. I had a buddy who wasn't here. So Friday, 3 o'clock Eastern, how many followers of that Twitch stream were there? Like 40,000?
Oh no. It was around 200,000 people were watching.
Yeah, it had been
100,000. What the fuck?
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, that's worldwide though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
200,000 fucking Americans.
It was in A. NA, so it's just North America.
Oh my god.
It's just
but,
the
but anybody,
teams.
anybody
could watch
yeah.
it, but I mean, Koreans don't.
But Twitch is Twitch is a good.
That's not a racist thing. They
no,
actually
like
have
they
much
are,
better
they're
teams.
Better. We don't matter.
It's been a huge thing in Eastern Asia for what, the last two decades?
Yeah.
I mean, the teams over there are huge. It's ridiculous.
I heard a story where a Korean professional basketball team brought in some StarCraft players to motivate their team. Like kind of a star.
Oh, no, it was when South Korea, in the World Cup. They made it in the World Cup. And they flew South Korean esports champions, like, to go into the locker room.
To motivate them.
Like, in South Africa, you have Nelson Mandela walk in and be like, guys, you really need to win this. In this, you have 20-year-old guys who spend 18 hours a day pushing Q, W, and E.
Gentlemen, we just want you to know that we're all rooting for you. You're in our thoughts and prayers, and you represent all of us here in South Korea.
Tears
of shit. Fucking awful.
You know, actually, I think it was last year for the LCS that they sold out of tickets for, like, the championship match, and people demand more tickets, so they bought out the Staples Center. Because,
and you know what, I guarantee that not one of the people in the Staples Center could change their own oil. Like, that's the true tragedy of this.
That's a safe
people thing. That young and that inexperienced in life should not be able to garner this amount of wealth and fame from a fucking video game.
I think you'd be surprised at how widespread this actually is, though. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's definitely a young crowd kind of thing. But when they show shots of the crowd, you're seeing male, female, all different backgrounds, ages. It's surprising. It's definitely probably an under, say, 35 thing, but you're still seeing a lot of different types of people out there playing these games, watching people play these games.
Like, North Korea is going to nuke the world because we have a stupid comedy coming out in which Kim Jong-un gets assassinated. A fucking hole in Siberia opens up. This week in Tunisia, a lake appeared in the middle of the desert. Okay? A lake. A 2.5-acre lake is 50 feet deep. Just appeared overnight. And there are 20-year-olds that are fucking rich and famous from fucking video games. So fucking, you know, we're all gonna, the whole world's ending in 80 years, so whatever. But, god damn it. That's fucked. That is just fucked.
There's a look at Twitch if you want to scroll through it. Like, these people, it tells how many people they have viewing them.
Are they live right now? They're probably watching a live stream right now.
There is one of the top, yeah, Riot Games.
They have casters.
How often do you find a nude person on Twitch?
They regulate
pretty
well.
Sometimes there will be girls that, like, say, oh, I'll stream my bikini for so many, you know, subscribers and stuff like that. But that's about as far as it gets. But the good thing about Twitch, though, is a lot of the big streamers, they take on these charity things where people who watch them stream, they will take money for charity, like donations. So they basically stream for donations for charities. So it's not all a bad thing. Maybe the LCSs, but I mean, when it comes down to the little streaming, it's usually for a good cause.
I think it's interesting because, I mean, everyone in here is a sports fan of one flavor or another. So let's take football, okay? You play football for essentially 20 weeks a year. you know, you've got, you know, the physical endurance. Guys can do it for maybe 10 years on average-ish. Some guys are out after two or three. But
some guys are fucking gross.
I mean, you're having fights over demand for more games. You're having fights over taking the ability to watch these games away from people. You have specialty services that you can now buy for X number of dollars. I mean, being in baseball, I pay an exorbitant amount to be able to watch ball games. But now you're talking about a sport, esports, being worldwide, easily accessible, on all the time, being played around the world, and there's no season. They play for 12 weeks, have a championship for that, you know, for the summer, take a few weeks break, and then they turn around and they start the fall league. And they play it for a little bit, and they turn around and start the winter league. And every once in a while, they get all the all-stars together, and they have a big tournament in Paris or South Korea or...
Oh, God.
Whatever. Olympics. It's, I think it's it's fascinating that Dota 2, the international tournament, was covered on ESPN. It was a news story.
As you mentioned before we started recording, it's on ESPN3.
That's
true. Didn't know there was an ESPN3.
That's their online service, so you have to sign in and watch it online.
Okay. But it's not like on Dodgeball, like, ESPN8.
The Ocho.
Exactly. They don't actually have multiple stations. But still, the fact that the front page during the international was of Dota 2 just blows my mind. In the sports world, that was the most important thing, was this event for $5.6 million in a computer game. A free-to-play computer game. You can go home now and put it on Jeff Thorpe's laptop and play it.
No, because I tried to download one thing on that laptop and I thought it was going to die. That's not going to happen. Although I appreciate it, Jeffrey. Thank you.
I apologize if I insulted you by putting that startup noise at the beginning of our episode last week.
Anything else with esports that you gentlemen want to discuss?
Flynn, you should talk about the Tribune.
Oh, so.
This will really blow your mind.
I never get a chance to do it. I hate it. Flynn does it all the time, and I can never do it.
A lot of people who play League of Legends and a lot of these MOBA games. And there are a lot of assholes who play these games. Mm-hmm. And so they tried to get this kind of, like, community-regulated justice system. So if someone is, you know, using racial slurs or profanity, which happens every game, at the end of the game you can report them. And that goes to the Tribunal website. And then you can go on there and review cases and, you know, kind of give the thumbs up or thumbs down whether they should be banned or suspended from the game or unable to play. And it's... I mean, it doesn't really matter. Like, people are going to, if they're assholes, they're going to be assholes. You know, you can slap them in the wrist, they're going to be assholes. But I like to take a kind of a personal vendetta against those bastards and spend a lot of time on the Tribunal page judging, scrolling through.
You're the nerd Batman.
I really am. I tried to be.
You're a vigilante for fucking...
I just
someone's got to step up and say no. No more.
I am the law.
I am the law.
Thank I like you that. For that. That's what I picture people doing when they're doing that.
Yeah.
The only other thing I would mention is that we talked about it, and then you said, oh my God, we got to record, so I don't think it's on the recording. But now, I mean, college leagues of these games are being formed now. It's already been formed in Eastern Asia, but there are colleges offering athletic scholarships for players of these MOBA-based esports games. The Ivy League already has an active division where they're competing against each other, just like the origins of football or basketball. Mm. Like, it's a real thing.
Bring up the website.
I think you
can see
me
in
migraine. That is horrific.
I think the closest college here, there's a college in Illinois that offers scholarships for League of Legends players.
But we're talking like $100,000 for 4 years. Like, basically a full ride.
I got a scholarship for being smart. Just want to say... I didn't play fucking computer games and get scholarships. That's tragic.
I mean, what's the difference, though, between that and a guy throwing an orange ball through an orange ring?
Oh, no, don't get me started on scholarships. That's a broken system.
Oh, yeah.
That's a broken system.
I'm just saying, in less than, what, 3 years, The prize for the international has gone from $1 million to $5.6 million. Like, you are going to see, I think it's going to become bigger. It may not be these games, but there will, they, like, Flynn, what, Smite? What else have you been
Smite,
playing?
Smite, Dawngate, there's a lot. Strife is coming out, Heroes of New Earth.
There's that DC one. What was
Infinity Crisis. Yeah. DC actually has a MOBA, just kind of like League of Legends, but with DC characters.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I can respect that.
See, there you go. Start playing now. No, get that quick Twitch.
No.
You'll start streaming.
You can do a follow-up episode. I have a child. He loves MOBAs and it's on his way.
Like a year from now, I'm like, I can't record tonight, Cody. I'm playing MOBAs.
he'd be like, see, what I realized is that with Green Lantern, if I take first the BG and then I add this effect, I will actually get a 2.367% advantage to my HP so I can do more AD damage.
That's basically how those games are played, though.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But you're talking, you stream it on Twitch with sportscasters and commentators and live studio audiences. It's ridiculous, but it's really kind of cool, too.
Hey, more power to them. I'm not going to judge. gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Real quick, the information for Joan of Orca Part 1. It'll be coming out this Friday. At www.followthe.tv/orca. And it is, the digital download is a pay what you want. So,
nice.
For tips.
There you go.
So,
anything else we got to announce? Book clubs this weekend, right?
No.
This coming weekend? 7th? I think it's the 7th.
I don't know. I can't go to the next two.
Fair enough. But I think Black Rose Book Club is this weekend. If not, somebody comment on Facebook and tell us we're wrong.
That is right.
I think it's this weekend, though.
Yeah, so go hang out at the Androids Dungeon this Saturday at 3:30 in Avon, Indiana, for the comic book club. Reading
Black Rose, I believe is what it's called.
Yeah, and bring a snack because that went off really well last time. Bring a snack for everybody. Make some brownies, man. So, any questions, gentlemen? Any comments?
No.
All right. Well, thank you for coming today, Cody.
Excelsior.
I always fucking forget about that. Hail Hydra.